One of the commonest problems affecting infants and toddlers is otitis media, middle ear infection. And there's a big controversy at the moment about whether they should be given antibiotics. It's a big ticket item for children, parents and GPs. Two trials have just been published in the New England Journal of Medicine which provide an answer. The person who wrote the editorial in the journal bringing it all together was Jerome Klein, professor of pediatrics at Boston University School of Medicine. In his editorial, he claimed that a doctor from 50 years ago listening to all this debate would have been shocked.
That's correct, because before the advent of antimicrobial agents, only children with very severe ear infections came to the attention of the doctor, and many of those children required hospitalization, draining of the middle ear abscess, and many of those children had complications such as mastoid infections or meningitis, infection of the brain.
The mastoid being the bone behind the ear.
That's correct.
Where did it come from that antibiotics were questioned?
We should go back to the 1930s when sulfonamides were first introduced. They were miracle drugs. They cured the bacterial infection. But during the 50s, 60s, and 70s, they began to notice that many of these infections are viral. And even among the bacterial infections, some of those clear without antimicrobial agents.
But the problem, of course, is diagnosing the ones who need it.
Exactly. To make the diagnosis requires the use of an otoscope. One can visualize the tympanic membrane, the eardrum, and the contents behind the eardrum. If one has an air-filled space in the middle ear, that's a normal ear. That's not otitis media. If one has fluid, that's one of the criteria that we use. And there are three criteria. One is that there is fluid present in the middle ear space. The second is this is an acute event, so the child is ill within the past couple of days. And the third is that there's an indication of inflammation. That is, the eardrum appears red. Those are the criteria that most skilled physicians would use to make the diagnosis of acute otitis media. Studies in Great Britain, the Netherlands, Scandinavia, and the United States did show that children could be observed without the use of antimicrobial agents. But the vast majority of studies had flaws. Either the diagnosis was not identified as specifically as I've indicated, or the number of patients in the studies was inadequate, or that they were using mostly older children who do better with acute otitis anyway.
Tell us about these two trials.
What was needed was a study that would look at children 2 years of age or 3 years of age and under, and look at it with the most precise scientific detail. One study was done in Pittsburgh. One was done in Turku, Finland. Each study took children who had the criteria, and in a blinded fashion, one group received a placebo and one group received an antibiotic, amoxicillin clavulanate. The results were followed very closely with parent reports as well as observations by the physicians. In each case, antibiotics were beneficial if appropriate diagnosis of otitis media was done. So children who had received the antibiotic were substantially improved compared to children who received the placebo, both in a reduced number of days of symptoms, that is pain, irritability, not feeding well. All of those were shorter compared to the placebo, and failures were substantially less.
What do you mean by failures?
Children whose initial signs persisted.
And what about complications of middle ear infection? Were they reduced as well?
There was only one case in the Pittsburgh study, and it happened to be in the children who received the placebo.
And what about side effects of the antibiotic?
That is an issue. With antibiotics, diarrhea is a frequent adverse event. And in this case, there were more children who had diarrhea than there were children who received the placebo.
I think it's fair to say that the benefits weren't dramatic. And part of that could be because it was an average and you didn't know which children had viral infections or bacterial. So you were going on the look of the drum and well, there was fluid behind there, and just saying this could be bacterial, so we'll give you the antibiotic anyway. Did they make an attempt to see whether or not kids with bacterial infections did even better when you removed the averaging?
No, and in fact, the only way one could do that is to put a needle through the eardrum.
Okay, you've convinced me now not to do it, right?
Right.
And what about resistant bacteria, which is the other problem? Was there an increase in resistant organisms in these kids as a result of the antibiotics?
No, there wasn't, but I think what the focus should be is that where antibiotics are beneficial, that they should be used. And what the Academy of Pediatrics in the United States and the American Communicable Disease Center focusing on is the inappropriate use of antibiotics. Antibiotics for trivial, you know, those who have runny noses, cough, which are likely viral and would not benefit from antibiotics, and which also would have pressure to increase resistance by this inappropriate usage.
Okay, Professor Klein, you've got the toughest-minded mum and dad sitting before you in your rooms with an 18-month-old toddler with a sore ear, and they're quizzing you about really what benefit there is. What's the story now following these two studies?
The story now, I think, is to use the criteria, and that with a diagnosis made appropriately, acute otitis media is a treatable disease. So for the parent, that infant who hasn't been eating, who's been irritable, who kept you up that night before, will benefit by earlier resolution of those signs, and the parent will sleep better.
And who would complain about that? Jerome Klein is Professor of Pediatrics at Boston University School of Medicine. I'm Norman Swan. You've been listening to The Health Report, and I'll see you next time.